Okay, so after the bracha of Matir Asurim, after the bracha of the Akash Baruch Baruch Hashem Lekim Hachalam, Matir Asurim, the Akash Baruch releases the bounds. He's Matir, he releases what ties us down. So also, it means Matir Asurim means also that we permit what's us or what bounds us, what's us. And so let's start off with the Rishonim's. The Rishonim say something very interesting. That we know when we go to sleep, if you ever have that, you know, that old, when you wake up in the morning and all your bones ache, even though you had a good night's sleep, what happened was, is that you're literally, you're, when your body goes to sleep, your bones get restricted. And it's like the Sefer Hasidim says, Isha Yetim Beis Asurim, Chayav L'Hoidais, like the same way a person is in a prison, he praises God if he gets free. There is no better like freedom and no better, there's no better, the chavish means that, there's no stronger restriction, at more than sleep, yashan, sleep. And we've talked about this already numerous times in the Birchas Hashachar, the aspect of that when we go to sleep, we are kind of entering a aspect of Misa. We'll talk about it a little bit more later, the concept of Tumah there. But the reality is that there's a wakening up, and most of us when we wake up, we stretch ourselves, we yawn, right? Because what we're doing is we are actually releasing our tightness, releasing our restriction that we've put upon ourselves when we go to sleep. And we wake up in the morning and we now have the ability to move everything. It's a nice practice to once in a while to recognize and see what, the amazing ability that we have. This Chovos Avos talks about this, the ability to wiggle our fingers, to be able to move our heads, to move our back, to be able to walk. To have any one of any one of our limbs that were restricted when we sleep and now we can reuse again. There's an aspect of that gives us a bracha that we give a bracha to Hashem about. It literally releases us and allows us to walk on everything. The Talmud Devara says an unbelievable thing in the terms of this aspect of Matir Asurim, the aspect that Hashem gives us the koyach to move and do everything. It says, it's like can you imagine what an amazing king God is. Hashem is, right? Cause you see what happens, right? He enables us to make any move, and make any deep, every thought and any speech or anything we do, God enables us to do it. Whenever we wake up in the morning, Hashem Chas v'Chalila chooses for someone that he can't get up and walk, he's not going to walk. If he can't talk, he won't talk. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the ability to open our mouth, the ability to get up and to get to walk. And he continuously gives us that ability. He continuously gives us the reality, the being of that we could, that we are able to consistently move our body. Now, what happens when we do something connected Hashem, right? Let's say we say Lashon Hara. Let's say we don't talk nice. Let's say we eat without a bracha, right? Who is giving us the ability to do that avera? The very moment that Hashem is doing the ultimate kindness by allowing us to move, to allow us to speak and allow us to think, and allow us to eat or to think or to move, right? And we the very moment he's literally giving us this matana, this present, and it's almost like we are slapping it in his face. We're like throwing it right back at him, and we're using it for negative things. So Hashem gives us the ability to open our mouth, right? He's matir, assuming he releases the ability that we have the ability to talk. We have the ability to say things, and we use, instead of using that to build up people, we use that exact matana, that moment that allows us to talk, we use it to say negative things. And sometimes we say negative things about other people who are Hashem's also children. Hashem's the animal. So the present Hashem is giving us, we say no, we not only say no, thank you, we say, here, we're going to put it back right in your face in a negative way. So when we sin against Hashem, Akash Baruch Hu has an ability to, Akash Baruch Hu has this rachamim. This is what the Talmud Devarah's whole sefer is built upon, is how Hashem's midas of rachamim we also have, which is that at the very moment that Hashem is doing the favor, we use that favor against him, yet Hashem still has rachmanis. Hashem still allows this to happen. It's sometimes in our life, we have to be also to be able to realize that sometimes we actually push back, and we are negative to the people that have helped us the most. So the Matir Asum here is that Hashem has given us the capacity to do good. Hashem releases us. He releases us into the wild. He releases us into the world. And he gives us every moment, he gives us the ability to do many things. And we could do it, we could use it to either do good, or we could use the very good that he capacity gave it to us to say, not only no, thank you, Hashem, but I'm gonna go against you. So we start off the morning with the bracha of Matir Asum again. Let's start anew. Let's start with a new reality, that reality that Hashem, if Hashem wants, right? If Hashem wants us to do something, we're going to do it. If Hashem doesn't want us to do it, it's not going to happen. But when he does give us the ability to do something, we should at least go with it. The Avos Reb Nosson brings down that when someone, it's a very powerful thing, when someone proclaims to do something good, the fact that he proclaims it, Hashem says, you know what? Because you proclaimed it, which is an expression of that I, number one, that I want to do it. And number two, I believe that it can be done. So then Hashem will help us. He says that if someone thinks they want to accomplish something, so it could be that Hashem will give you reward for thinking good things. But there's a very strong likelihood that the thing you want to accomplish might not happen. Right? Because you didn't put it into the world. You didn't engage in the world that this thing should happen. It's still in what's called the Olam HaMachshava. It's in the world of thought. Right? Rabbi Konosky told me that's where the concept, I forgot who he said this from. That's a concept that when you give in tzedakah, there's a reason why we should pledge first. Let's say, I want to give this amount of money. Why? Because if you say it, you create something. You create a reality in the world now, deeper. Deeper is the same word as dava, or thing, and deeper is speech. Right? A reality of that this mitzvah should happen. So the bracha Matir Asum is not just, it's recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity to actually do these things. The fact that we can move our limbs, and the fact that we can get up and we can actually do this. Right? And more so is the expression of, don't use it against Hashem, but don't use what Hashem is literally giving you at this moment. Don't push it back into his face. The other side of this is that at least we should realize when people attack us, even for when the good we're doing it, it's okay. It's not a good, nice thing, but at least this, we're supposed to emulate Hashem. So if Hashem is willing to literally give you the strength to work against him, so then we could be a little bit more patient and more sensitive to a person who's using what we help them with against us. So that's what matters. That's the concept of matters too. We'll go a little bit into Hasidus a little bit here. After all, is a class on Hasidus. And the Mishana Itim brings down to something very interesting. He says that we know there's a concept out there, which is that what's called Nitzaisins. Nitzaisins are like sparks of Kedusha. And the concept is, and one of the deep concepts of the fact that Jews have been Gullahs and Jews have to be everywhere in Gullahs, is that there's sparks of Kedusha that splattered all over the world, whatever this time of the Shfiras, the breaking of the Kalim, the vessels, or whatever it is. But there's sparks of Kedusha, and the sparks of Kedusha have to be revealed. We have to release them from their captives. They're under what's called husk. They've been submerged in maybe tumor and dirt or immorality. And our job is to release them, to release Matir, to free that's captive. And he says an unbelievable thing. that the word asurim, which would be mata asurim, is the same, asurim is the same gematria as shivya, captive. And this is a representative of the nitzayis kedusha that are found in captivity. So the bracha we're making on mata asurim is not just a bracha for us that we should recognize the fact that Kachbar gave us this physical ability to do good. Right? We went to sleep and our bodies were restricted. Now we can get up and we can move everything and it works. But also in the spiritual way that we should have the ability, we should approach the day of the with the ability to matir dasurim, to release the nitzayis hakadusha from this world and free them. Right? The pidyon shuvim, we should go, you know, make a big campaign to save these people. So we might say, look, what does this have to do with us? You know, come on, we're in Denver, wherever we are. What types of production are we going to bring out in this world? So in Hasidus, this concept happens, comes out a lot in the terms of what eating. And there's the Sfas is a lot of times very busy with this. And he says that we have an unbelievable koach. The Jewish people have an unbelievable koach. We have the ability, this has a lot to do with Shabbos and Oneg, like having pleasure on Shabbos, but it's true in other times too. We have the ability to be licked and rhymed. We have to be totally immersed in physicality, yet we're not affected by the physicality. Right? And he says, like a lot of the Hasidic Rebbe says, you know, could be beholden to food, or food could be beholden to you. But when we do shechita, when we make a bracha, right? The famous Rebbe Shemaisa where person, you know, a Rebbe was eating an apple and his chassid was also eating an apple. And he said, what's the difference between you? You're eating an apple. I'm eating an apple. What's the difference? So the Rebbe said, you make a bracha to eat the apple. I eat the apple to make a bracha. And that's the concept. You know, someone one time asked me, he said, you know, how do you as a kol rabbi, you know, you seem to enjoy a lot of very good, like nice things. So I told him, I said, there's a very big difference. I said, there's nothing wrong with enjoying things. There's a problem with needing things. When you are tied or when you're held captive to the pleasures of this world, you're the ultimate captive. You need a bracha, matir asurim to redeem yourself. But if you go about your avodah hayom, your service of day, your physical interaction with this world, in terms of like, this is a place where I could interact my spirituality to that physical. I could bring out the kedusha of the physical by incorporating my spiritual reality. And if I say that, if I approach it in terms of this bringing me koach to be a better person, a better Jew, a better community member, whatever it is, if I use the food, if I use the gashmias in a way to create friendships and to create connections and to create a connection of spirituality. So I eat the food so that I could go now of koach to learn more Torah or to do chasadim, right? When I do that, when that happens, so what I've done is I've matir dasurim. I've released whatever nitzaisis, whatever kedusha that's in there, I've released to the world. I've brought it out in a way that connects the gashmis, the spiritual, to the physical. Right? It's very interesting. The Baal Shem Tov speaks about this on the pasuk in terms of hunger and ve'evim gam tzemeim nasha behem tisatev, right? That we're ravenous, we're hungry, and we're thirsty. So he says, why does Hashem make the man needs to get thirsty? Why does Hashem make the man needs to get hungry? Right? What do you need that for? And he says, you know what you need it for? You need it for because our engage, the whole purpose that Hashem created was to be able to teach us how to engage in the physical and make it spiritual. How do we accomplish that? We accomplish that by allowing our soul to burn bright in the physical. And we're going to see that part of the Matir Asurim is allowing our soul to be free. Not only free like from outside of our body, but on the contrary, that the soul should be able to be free in what it wants to do in this world. And it shouldn't be tied down by the goof, by the body. And so that's what we see, which is what we talked about a few times in Birchas Hashachar. But we know that there's a tumah that's involved with when we go to sleep. Why is that tumah involved? Because neshama goat leaves us. Neshama gets renewed by Kadosh Baruch Hu. He gives us a new morning. It's new morning. It's a brand new morning. He puts it back in there. But the reality is that the neshama being in the body, right? So when it left the body, it left a little bit of a, it left, when Kedusha, every time a Kedusha leaves something, it creates a tumah. So we get up and wash our hands. But the reality is that the neshama coming back to the body after being elevated, being up in the world of neshamas, and next a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes back, it feels constricted. It feels restricted. It feels like a captive in his body. So what do we have to do? So it's very interesting. The Orach Chaim talks about this in terms of tumah in Parshas Chukas. He says that when the kedusha leaves, what happens is that the klipas are the concept of anything that attaches to a void almost, and it actually wants to suck chias. It wants to suck life. Life form and thing is kedusha's wholeness. That's all positive. Whenever we're not living life to the fullest, and it doesn't mean like living life to the fullest with the 7-course meal. It means living life to the fullest that we engage the physical with a spirituality. The moment we don't do that, for example, we go to sleep. So our neshama leaves us, and now the body's exposed. The body's exposed to what's called a kaicha tumah that has the ability to literally suckias. So that suck life out of us. That's what happens when we go to sleep. Right, that's why we're 1/60th of death. It's because the neshama, a part of the neshama leaves, we automatically our bodies engages in the body's default position, which is not life, which is just lying on a slab of, you know, lifeless. That what gives us life is neshama. So now, but what happens? Our goal is that we wake up in the morning with matir asurim. Now I said the neshama wants to be free. Now, the neshama is one, right? So it wouldn't be mata asa. It wouldn't be mata asum. It wouldn't be plural. The teretz is that it's plural. You know why it's plural? Because it's the klipas that I've attached us, the plaque on your heart, for example. So the plaque on your soul that has come about because of your lifelessness, right? Is something that we now have to break through. So we make the bracha of that we should be mata asum. We should free ourselves from what is holding us back. We're talking about this klipas that attached to the neshama, and we have to break through. And now there we're going to see that there are different types of what causes us to feel like we're being held back and held down. We'll see that I think one of the biggest problems for people, is that their own reality that they create is what actually holds them back more than anything else. So we said the same way Shleis on the other, that we shouldn't be an ever to our own tivus, own desires, everything. We should be matar asur, and we should be able to break through in what we can perceive as being what holds us back, right? We always like to blame everyone else for why we, if we just had A, B, and C, we would have been amazing. And what really is what we would say when we say matar asur is, if I could just break through the things that I see as my own challenges, which are not there, I could be amazing. So the Gemara in the Nedarim says a fascinating thing. The Gemara talks about an Ir Katana. There was a small city, and there was men, a little men there, and a great king came and surrounded them, right? And he built like traps and like he laid siege to the city. And they found only one man who was in danger, but he was a chacham. He was a chacham. He was a wise person. So what does this Gemara have to do with anything? So the way the commentators explain it is that let's go through the story again. The Shita Makbesis says this, saying that what's the guf, the body is considered like a small city. Right, we know that the man is like a olam katan. It's like a small its own world. And what's the little man? The different people is the limbs of the person, the body and its limbs. Right? Now comes a Melech Gadol. Who's the Melech Gadol that surrounds him and traps him and gets him to falter? That's a Yetzer Hara. Right? With who controls. It convinces the body to take control. When anytime the body runs, this is very clear in Derech Hashem, in the Ramchal. But anytime the body's running the show, it means that it subdued the spiritual tov, the spiritual good, and it's running, and it's in charge. And it's a tyrant. And it's a physical, it's a Yetzer Hara in charge, and it traps him and it lays seizures to the whole body. Right? And it causes terrible things to happen, right? So who's the Chacham? Who's Ish Masukah? Who's the danger when this happens? And the Chacham, that's the Yetzer Tov. So the Yetzer, and what's the Yetzer Tov's job? And this is what he does. He convinces the rest of the body to break free. He tells everyone, stop. Don't be affected by this king. Don't be affected with the Yetzer Tov. You are much bigger and better and greater than this. Your city, the city could thrive. The city could be great. Don't believe this tyrant. So many people, so many times when, you know, like America wants to go into other countries and try to help them out. The hardest part of this is convincing them that they could be doing so much better. So the Yetzer Tov, the Chacham comes and says, guys, trust me on this. Listen to me. If we could break through this from this Melech, our lives would be so much better. You would be enhanced. Your body would be enhanced. Everything would be enhanced. Right? As the Avraham Nosson says, right, the Yetzer Tov is only the Yetzer Tov's life in this world is compared to someone that is literally locked up in a prison. And he's stuck. But his job is to convince that we could get out of this. We could break through this and we could break through this and do great things. Now, this is an amazing, amazing, gematria. And it gives us a tool. And when we say Mater Surum, it gives us a tool to understand how we could accomplish it. So, Mate Asurim, right, will release us from the bonds. For Mate, you Hashem, you release us from jail, from restriction, however you want to say it. It's the same gematria as we say in Davni, Soimech Hashem lechol anoiflim, v'zeik lechol akufim. Hashem is, Soimech Hashem lechol anoiflim. Hashem is the one who supports all the people that fall, and he uprights all the people that are kaifer, that are bent over. So Matir Asurim is the same as the Hashem's help. And I think this is very powerful. I think when we say Matir Asurim, the bracha we're making here is that we should recognize that if you really want to break out of this, the way we break out of this is we choose Hashem. We realize that what's really pushing us down, what's really making our burden, what's really heavy on our shoulders, what really calling us, what's preventing us from being free of from the things that we create for our own self, is that we don't recognize that we could put some of this package onto Hashem. That Hashem is anyways helping us. He's anyways supporting us when we fall. He's anyways uprooting us when we're stooped from all the pressures and everything. So you want to be free, Mater Sur, hand over some of the issues you have. Free yourself from this Yetzer Hara. It says that you're never going to get anywhere. You're never going to be anything. You're lose hope. You're going to be nothing. Right? Mate assume. You know your mate assume? You know you free yourself from all this negativity? You know you free, and who's the most negative person about you is you. You're the one that gets the hardest person on a person is himself. They never want to forgive himself. They'll forgive that person is that, but to me, that I should be, like, how could I be so great if A, B, and C? Hashem says, the reason why you're mate assume, the reason why you're free, you know why? Because I'm here anyways. I'm helping you. And what's tying you down, what's preventing you from being great, is your own asurim. It's all the things that you put on by yourself. It's your own klipas. It's your own realities of that. Your own created realities that don't allow you to think that you're greater than who you could be. So Hashem says, you know what? Saimech Hashem l'chol naivik nizek l'chol kfufim. You want to break free from the chains you created, the chains maybe other people created, chains that the world created. Recognize that if you think you're down, I'm there. I'm being samech you. I'm supporting you. I'm also uplifting you. I'm making you straight again. By the way, the word yish, which is such a terrible word in the Jewish world, right? There's no, it's a word that we never give up hope. How can you give up hope? Hashem is there with you. Yish is the worst thing that a yid who has a munat get. Yish is the same word as asurim, the same gematria, the same numerical value as asurim, right? That when you, yish, when you despair and when you have no hope, you are in your own prison. Right, Nebuch, when people literally have some mental health in a real way, I don't mean that they put on themselves, real mental health, right? The yish they have, the hopelessness they have, it's their own mental prison. It's a very difficult place to get out of. We're trapped in our own yish. It's terrible. So with this understanding that part of our understanding is that if we want to break through in greatness, we want to break through in the reality of that Hashem is helping us in any way. And we want an Hashem to shine through. So we could understand that maybe on Shabbos, and this is true by a lot of the brachas on Shabbos have a new meaning to them. Because we know that what's in Shabbos? Shabbos is a day of cool and neshama. It's an neshama. We get an extra soul. Our soul is burning bright. We allow our soul to burn bright. We engage in tremendous oneg. We create tremendous pleasure, tremendous physical pleasure. You know why? Because we are free from the restriction of the pleasure. We are engaging in those pleasures to let our soul burn bright. And that's why I've said this many times, be free on Shabbos. So don't get stuck in the narishkeits of the world, right? The politics, to have conversations of politics at a Shabbos suit is ridiculous. It's such a crazy thing. It's so antithesis to what Hashem, to what Shabbos is about. Hashem is giving the ability to enjoy the world in the beauty of the world in a spiritual way, how it should be. That's Matir Asum. You're free. So the bracha on Shabbos is thank you, Hashem. Once a week, you really give us the picture of being Matir Asum. And I just want to end off with one last thing, which is the very, very, very important for what's called Sefer Yomim, where in the time of the end of the days, right? There's one other type of Yetzer Hara, right? What's called, like, the Yetzer Hara of that people, right? I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. People are very quick to free themselves. They're really enslaving themselves, but they free themselves from the obligations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because the Yetzer Hara convinced them that they have a good time against them. Chas v'chalil. You hear this all this time. You hear people that like have tainus against HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol, because in their youth they saw something happen to another person. That person, right, wasn't as bothered by you, right? And people, Nebuch, I'm not judging one way or the other, but it's just there's a terrible tragedy where you live your life based on the notion that because something happened to me, therefore, I have a right to do everything I do, because what you end up doing is you're not free to get above the taina, to get above the complaints you have of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's very nice. And you might be satisfied for a few years in this world. But what are you giving up for that taina? You're giving up a world, a netzach, nitzchias. So you're giving up forever. You're giving up a relationship with God. A God who is the one enabling you to go to the store and buy the treif. And you're willing to give it up. Why? Because you came up in your logic that because of A happened, that's why I'm free to do this. So it's always this way. People that think that they're so progressively free that they're more bounded by their twisted logic. You know, I've had a few times people come over to me and they tell me, you know, even with real people who've had real tzaras, They're like, you know, I don't believe in God. And I always stopped them. I said, I just want to tell you, I don't mind hearing what you have to say, but I just want to be clear with you. I also don't believe in your God. Because the God that you describe how you define God, I don't need to believe in. That's not God, right? The God that I believe in is big enough, and there's a big enough picture, and there's a oneness that I don't understand, and I can never understand, which I say every day, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem that's kind, and Hashem is din, Echad is one, which is no real human being could comprehend, how's that even possible, right, is a God that I attribute to. You define that God is A, and it did because of that. God is good. If God is good, how could this happen? Right? And it's not that the God is good is not an act, is not a right definition, but it's not the whole definition of God. There's a much bigger picture of it. You define that, and therefore you lived your life. You handcuffed yourself to that logic for how to live your whole life. And Ayvei, what happens to you? And many of these people don't end up living a happy life. So Mate Asum, make a bracha Mate Asum. If we're getting up every day and we're willing to engage in the Shema, we're willing to say, let the Neshama, let the soul burn bright in us. Free us from the despair of what the world throws at us. Free us from the twisted logic of the world that engages us in a way that we end up making bad mistakes in our life about how we should live our life in a relationship with God. Free us from all that, right? That's the bracha of Matir Asurim. I don't know if people know this part of the story, but my father was shalom when he was sick. We went to Rav Gamil Rabinovich when he was, we went there to Shrel, and Rav Gamil told him a very interesting thing, which was like, was shocking to him. My father came to him, basically told Rav Gamil, he said, look, you know, I came here with I have a single daughter still, and I wanted to get married. She was 32, 33 at that time. So Rav Gamil turned to him and said, sometimes you have to be Michael Kosh Baruch Hu. You can't have time for tainas. Okay. You have to forgive Hashem. You can't have tainas with him. And it was very bothersome to my father, like, cause he didn't believe in tainas. I mean, you have to realize my father had, cancer. He had Yanamachla for 3 years. And now once do we hear a complaint for sure, Chashalom Kmina Kana Kosh Baruch Hu, but not even complaint himself. You know, you saw him and he wasn't feeling well, otherwise you wouldn't know. He would never complain. He really would complain about these things. Right. So it was troubling to him. It was interesting and weird, but we found out in the Shiva that when my father was having a conversation with one of his close people, Rabbanim, he just told him as a side note, he says, you should know, like, it's amazing. And like, he says, I don't even know how I could have a taina or a complaint against Hashem. You know, where I came from, he gave me wonderful kids, and he gave me all my grandkids, and they're all firm and everything. And it's like I said, I don't have any ties. I wouldn't have any ties with him. And it happens to be that if you do the math, my sister started dating like literally a day or two after that, her person, Chassan, the person he got engaged to. So there's a very powerful concept here that Mater Surim, it's not that Hashem needs a machila, but sometimes we need to get out. We need to get rid of the doubts. We need to get rid of the things that hold us back to have this strong connection with Hashem. That's the bracha of Matir Surim. We get up in the morning and we stretch and we move and we're able to move all our limbs. So first the bracha of the fact that we can move our limbs. Hashem allows us. And then the bracha that we should use that bracha for tov and not use it to slap Hashem and throw it right back at Hashem's face. And then we could say a bracha also, oh, by the way, we should also be matir the kedusha, the life and the holiness in everything physical in this world. And we get to that, then we create a reality, we create a relationship that we're free from any twisted logic. We're free from anything that holds us back from greatness. And we're free from despair, from yish, that holds us back from being great in our own lives. When we do that, that's a real bracha. That's a bracha, Matir Asurim. Have a great night, everyone.
Yeah, Shekiah.